welcome Jean Tringale, right? I'm saying it badly, I know. Tringale. Okay. Okay. Tringale. Interesting. Well, please come and join us, and we're excited.
Thank you. Thanks so much. I don't know. I think we should have just had a worship time this morning and then gone to lunch. So I'm from Kentucky, and we sang a lot. My sister and I used to sing together, and listening to your voices blend up there. I'm like, keep a grip, don't cry. But I thought, the voices in this church, the sweet, sweet spirit, and the sweet worship going on. How blessed. God's like, it's a women's day, I'm so happy. They love to worship me, and they do it so beautifully. So I really, really, I enjoyed it. So I know God did. I like the fact that we didn't have a fog machine and we didn't have dark lights trying to set the mood. Like we can't. Do we ever have trouble expressing our emotions, especially to God, right? Okay, well, we'll pray for that. I need like two of these up here because I have stuff. My kids say that I am the opposite of a minimalist. I'm a maximalist. I keep everything. I don't turn loose of much. As you could see if you went to my house, and every time my children come to visit, I say, take anything you want with you. You can have the chair I'm sitting in, but just start taking whatever you want. So just a little brief idea of who I am. I've been married to my husband. Oh, I thank you. You're so kind. That's so I don't spill that. This is so I remember to use the word. Pastor Chris says, use the word, Jean. I get into a lot of stories and I think, well, I'm living the word. That's why I forget. That's right. He says, share your testimony. Margie spurs me on. Margie could share every testimony I have. She's heard it so many times, but she's usually the one going, tell him this one. Tell him this one. So I've been married for 43 years. It is to an Italian. But he met me in Kentucky, so he knew what he was getting into. I always say, do you wish you had a quiet little yes wife? He said, you weren't that when I met you. Why would I think you'd become that? So I always tell him he's the most wonderful man on the planet for me. I'm sure there are wonderful husbands represented in this room, but he's the perfect one for me. Yeah. Wonderful. So we have four children. I was 19 when I got pregnant with my daughter, and then I met Robert when she was 3. And he led me to Jesus, so I became instantly, within days of meeting him, I became a Christian. And then within a few weeks of knowing me, he became a father because we got married within 3 months of being introduced. So I got to meet Jesus and my husband at the exact same time. And that Margie just tells me to write a book because it's a beautiful love story and I love it. But I think the focus is a little different this morning. So at some point I'll share that, or I will just get around to writing that book. But Robert and I went on to have 3 more children, and we have 3 boys. The 3 boys are married, and we have 8 grandkids. So there's not a whole lot I haven't experienced yet in life. You'll hear tomorrow that I've been healed of, 4 or 5 major diseases and have had medical fact, it's not just, oh, you thought you had that and then you were healed. I have doctor's reports. So major healings in my life that I know God wants me to share tomorrow. So I'll still pray for healing today. But if you need healing in any area of your life, you want to hear it tomorrow. I'm also one of the pastors with the UWCI network. Pastor Chris and Margie ordained my husband and I 5 years ago. And he came, we had known them for about 7 years. And we have a ministry to pastors in our home. So we just, does anybody have a short story with God? I mean, that's another long story of how we got into this ministry to pastors. But it started by the gift of hospitality was something God gave Robert and I. And he's a chef. And I love to throw parties. And I love to decorate. So we were just a natural fit from day one. But just before we came to New York and we were in Kentucky, we had Randy Clark come through our church and that Toronto blessing, the whatever, reawakening, whatever you want to call it, hit at our church. We saw miracle after miracle. I had one of my miracles there. But standing in the back of the church, the pastor walked up and said, "We've got a 3-week conference coming. And I can't have these pastors that come in." We had pastors from all over the region flood into our church. He said, "I can't have them trying to find something to eat at 3 a.m. when the meeting's let out. So would you feed them?" And we both went, "Yeah, sure." We're standing at the back of the church, couldn't find a seat anywhere. So we just stood up, said, "Yeah, we'll do it." That started us feeding this group of any pastor who visited and all the speakers. And we would, you know, when you're going from 7 p.m. till 3 and 4 in the morning, you have a few speakers. So they needed to be fed. So we just started cooking for them. And then they gave us a room called the River Room. We took over a room upstairs. We made it into our what we called the River Room, the River of God flowing. And so we fed these ministers up there. So when God then told us, this went on for 2 years, when God told us that we were moving to New York to take care of my husband's parents, I didn't want to leave my family and my church, but I knew God was in it. And so I said, "Yes, we'll do it. No question." And I think back a lot on the blessing that's come from my yes, I'll do that. First, the hospitality at the church. Yes, we'll move to New York. Then when we got to New York, where it was pretty dead because I hadn't met them yet. We were an hour and a half north of them. So it was, I'm like, "God, seriously, you brought me here? I don't even know if I've met another Christian, let alone a born-again, spirit-filled Christian." It was really challenging, but I could go back to that moment when I knew that God said to go and I said yes. So that spurred me on and what he had called me to do there. And so I said to Robert, "We need to meet some more of these pastors." And God said to me, "Invite Randy Clark to come to Syracuse." Okay, so I called him up. I said, "I see you're going to be in Rochester. Would you come have lunch with us or meet with us? We want you to come to Syracuse." He said, "Well, come meet me in Rochester. We'll have lunch." And we sat down and he said, "I got to tell you, I'm not feeling it for Syracuse." I'm like, "Okay, you know, I know what you want. I know what we had in Kentucky and how amazing that was. I'm just not feeling it for Syracuse. But tell me what's going on in your lives." So we began to tell him about all these people that we had led to the Lord. And we're there with my in-laws. And so they were in their late 70s. Family and friends up there were all much older. And we just started sharing Jesus with them. They were mostly Catholic. So we just started sharing Jesus with them, and we would invite them over for dinner and we would cook for them and do things for them. So we were sharing the love of Jesus. they were receiving that. And then in our conversation, we would start talking to them about, well, you know, you've been in church your whole life. Here's what the word says. And they'd go, well, we don't read that. That's what the priest does. We don't read the Bible. One by one, we started leading these people to Jesus. So we're sharing this with Randy. And he said, God just told me it's a seed. I'm sowing a seed. I'm coming to Syracuse. Set it up. So in inviting him to Syracuse, I had to go knock on church doors. And because he said, I don't want just one church there. I want you to get all the churches you can. So I went and knocked on doors and invited them to come be a part of this. And that's how I got to know all these pastors. So out of the 25 I invited, 3 showed up. They were a little afraid of what had been happening. And it was in the days of, if it's on the internet, it must be true. And so they were believing every lie that they had seen. And I would say to them, well, let me share my testimony of what happened to me and my son and this one and that one in these meetings. So anyway, that began our ministry to pastors. So we have them over our house. In the beginning, it was once a month. As we've been traveling more, it's once every other month. But we've had from 25 to 50 pastors come for dinner. It's not a potluck. I tell them you have to walk in empty-handed. I don't want, this is a time to bless you. I don't want you worrying about, now I got to stop at the store. I forgot I said I'd bring dessert. I don't want that. I just want you to walk in, have fellowship with other pastors. Sometimes it's just a night of fellowship. Sometimes if we have a minister who's traveling through or ministering at Johnson City, Pastor Chris will call. I've got Andre Bronkhorst coming in. You want to set up a pastor's meeting? Like, yes, I do. So that will sometimes dictate that schedule. And so Pastor Chris said, why aren't you two ordained? I said, we don't need a title. We're just doing what we're doing. He said, no, you need to be ordained. No, we don't need to. You need to be ordained. So we prayed and God said, this is what I have for you. So we had the ordination at our house and where we ministered to the pastors. So we didn't do it in church. We had all the pastors come. We had the best time. Oh, my goodness, we had the best time. I had like the who's who guest list because they were all in town for a conference at Johnson City. So Chris said, we'll do it that weekend. So I'm like, wow, you're here and you're here. And so Lynn and Kathy Mink are precious friends. Lynn was the worship leader for Kenneth Copeland for 40 years. And they became our very best friends. I know what that says, so I'm okay. Lynn and Kathy had been our best friends for 30 years. And so they were there and it made it very special. But my sister and I had this thing that on our birthdays, we would read a chapter out of Isaiah. She came up with this. I didn't understand it. But she said to me, I read the chapter in Isaiah that correlates with my age. Yeah. So one of the most powerful words I ever got after I had gotten healed of Guillain-Barré syndrome, this man came up and prophesied to me. He was from Australia. And he said, the word is Isaiah 45. Now, I'm so drunk in the spirit at that point that I couldn't stand up. I had just turned 40. And I looked at him and I go, how am I supposed to remember this? And it was pretty crazy, just trying to focus. And he said, well, it's the age you'll be in 5 years' time. I go, how do you know I'll be 45 in 5 years' time? He went, I'm a prophet. I'm giving you a word. God is telling me. So that word was, thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him and to loosen the loins of kings, to open doors before him so the gates will not be shut. I didn't know that I was getting ready to be sent to New York and move there and live there for 23 years now. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and shatter the bars of iron. I will give you treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places, so that you may know that I, the Lord, who calls you by your name, am the God of Israel. I cannot tell you how many times sitting in New York that word ministered to me, because I went, God, you came before me. You made the crooked places straight. So then all those years later, 5 years ago when we got ordained, it was Isaiah 61. I turned 61 that year. I won't read the whole thing, but the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to preserve those who mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And it goes on, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm sure you all have read this many, many times, but those words, when I was questioning, do I really need to be ordained? I read that on my birthday and went, all right, God, I got it. I'm going to go do this. So that began just such an interesting time in our lives, because God started sending us out and we got more involved with UWCI, and I love travel. I love going to new places. I love to pray for somebody and see them healed or set free or a word. And then in the meantime, 3 years ago, I went through this season of grief where my mother went to heaven at the age of 90. She was in perfect health. It was a real surprise, but she went rather quickly, so that was good, but I wasn't really prepared for that. At the same time, my sister had been diagnosed with cancer. And hearing, when you hear tomorrow, you might be a little surprised, but I thought, cancer, that's nothing. I've been healed so many times, this is nothing. You're going to get through this. I don't care what that doctor says. Well, that wasn't in her heart. In her heart was a lot of fear and I don't want to say giving up, but we found out she had had symptoms. She had been fighting for 6 years and hadn't told any of us. So when the diagnosis came, she just, even though she was going, yeah, no, I know, I'm healed, in her heart, she was going, oh my God, I'm so afraid this is it now. And so I don't want to say she gave up, but she sort of went, all right, God, this is what you have for me. I'm going. So 5 months after my mom passes, my sister passes. Now, I have a daughter. I had a sister, I had a mother, and it was the four of us that did everything together. We did road trips, we did girls' trips, we talked at least every other day, if not every day. Well, what happened was I found out, I don't think I know who I am without them in my life. These are the people that I would call and go, can I just tell you what somebody said to me and it really messed with me, and you tell me if you see this in me? Because I didn't, you know, they don't get me like you get me. So you tell me, did I say this wrong? Did I do this wrong? And after my sister would laugh, she would say, well, you know, Jean, sometimes you can say things in a way that maybe people don't realize you're joking. So, you know, so I trusted her and her opinion because she loved me. She knew me. She knew my heart. My mother was one who raised me to say, you can do anything. You're the most amazing woman on this planet besides your sister and your daughter. You can do anything. So I had this constant building up and support with them. So their loss was, it was devastating to me. It took me, I don't know, I think I did nothing for about 6 months. I just went, I'm dealing with what happened. My sister shouldn't have died and gone to heaven. She should have been healed. She should still be here. My mother, I was thrilled for, because that's where she wanted to go. And we had conversations. Are you satisfied, Mom? Have you done all you feel like God wants you to do? Then if you're tired and you want to go to heaven, just tell God and go. I'm not going to hold you back here. I'll miss you, but I want you to do what's in your heart to do. So it was a little easier to say goodbye to a 90-year-old than it was my sister who I had done everything with. So finally, it had been about a year and a half. And just last August, a year ago, we had a minister come to our house. I had spent that year and a half going, okay, you're not going to let a spirit of grief come on you. You know how that looks. You've prayed it off of people enough. Don't let a spirit of grief come on you where that's always your reference point. Oh, well, that was back when Mom died. Oh, that was back when... No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that person. But I hadn't really grasped the fact that I wasn't me. I hadn't gotten back to me. And I just sounded like a Canadian when I said that. I hadn't gotten back. I listened to accents and I'm like, oh, listen to how they say that word. And I just said it after a week and a half of being Canadian, eh? I noticed your accent the most. I was fascinated with you the other day at lunch, Val. I'm like, I love the way she talks. She's talking about all these amazing things she's doing. Like she went to the grocery store and picked up groceries. I'm like, you're driving what? Yeah, you guys are an amazing group of women. So now I'm talking like you. Maybe I'll go home and like drive the tractor or something. The lawn John Deere tractor. You guys like toys, right? So I realized we had this minister come to our home. And I always say, now, whatever time you get up, let us know, because we'll have the coffee ready and I'll have some muffins, something if you want to come out and get something. I always have a basket of stuff in their room. So if they don't want to get up in the middle of the night and go, man, I'm hungry. It's a different time zone. I need something. And them not have what they need, right? As a mom, we always make sure everybody has what they need. And when you're hospitality driven, you go overboard with it. So I said, but I'll have the coffee ready. And I like to be up and dressed and ready and full makeup on before my house guests are up. Well, this precious man gets up at 4. And he was happy to tell me, oh, I'm awake at 4. I said, coffee will be on. So I get up at 3:30, get everything ready, get myself ready, go downstairs so that he's able to just be upstairs and get what he needs. And I sit down on the couch and I hear him rumbling, praying in the spirit. I thought, man, he's up early praying. And when I sat down on the couch with my Bible, I just heard, it was this like precious spirit from hearing this prayer in the back. And all of a sudden I start weeping and then I'm sobbing. And I had a second of, I already did my makeup. I got to go do this again. I got to sneak upstairs. I got to go. It's okay. God, why am I sobbing? Why am I sobbing now of all times? And I suddenly saw my heart red, beating. If there are doctors here and it's not really red, just go with it. Picture of my red heart. But this chamber was a dark charcoal gray. Now, because of the healings I've had, my first thought was, are you telling me half of my heart's dead? And I went, that's not it. what are you showing me, God? And I saw a keyhole appear in that dark part. And then I saw this bright key go into that keyhole and turn it. And when it turned, I was crying. And that part of my heart turned red. And I saw this red beating heart. I said, God, he said, the rest of that grief is off of you. It's no longer a part of you. You have held on to that. You kept that part of your heart away from me. I said, I couldn't even talk to you about how much that hurt. I didn't know if I'd survive talking about that pain. But that part of me that I thought I had locked away was a big part of me. So this all opened up and came off of me. And I sat and cried some more. And then I rejoiced that joy came in the morning. So I have 15 more minutes. No. So I have to tell you, so that was a year ago. So I really made up for lost time. I really just like, I said, Robert, I feel like I'm back. I feel like I'm me again, fully me. I was still doing stuff, but I didn't realize I was kind of going through the motions. Like, I know how to do this, so I'd keep doing it. But it wasn't 100% me. So now I felt like I was 100% back. And so my very best friend, last January, she called me, and she didn't sound right. She was laughing hysterically, not making any sense, couldn't put two sentences together. And I thought, I said, there's something wrong. No, I'm fine, I'm fine. I said, no, there's something wrong. It was in my spirit. I'm fine, there's nothing wrong. I got to go, goodbye. And I called her daughter and I said, there's something wrong with your mom. So she said, I noticed it yesterday. She went over, got her, took her to the hospital. That doctor went, you're just stressed, and sent her home. And 3 months later, not quite, they called me and said she had a stroke. Well, that new doctor said, you've had many strokes, the TIAs or something, what a TA, whatever it's called. And I thought, God, why didn't I put my foot down and force her to get something done? But so she went home to be with the Lord. This is a woman who taught me faith, who, and I still don't fully understand it, and maybe I won't. But then I felt like that last corner was gone in my life because she did. She filled in that spot for me. So I sat there crying with the Lord and said, I really don't feel like I have anybody. Now I have my daughter, but she's grieving, and now I don't want to pour stuff on her. And I feel like I'm not known. Nobody knows me anymore, God. This is like devastating me again, and I can't go back to where I was. I cannot go back into that shut down heart. So I need you to speak to me about this. The very next day, I get a call that a sweet friend at church, her mom, who had had Alzheimer's for 3 years, was in the hospital dying. So I thought, of all times, I'm hurting so bad right now, but of all times. So I called her. I said, I want to come pray with you. And she said, I would love that. And I'm thinking, boy, I was really hoping she'd say maybe tomorrow. Just not today, please. I went, okay. So I said, all right, God, you got to get me through this one. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get her a Mother's Day card. And I thought, my friend? Because Mother's Day was, this was on Monday. Mother's Day was Sunday. He said, no, her mom. Like, God, she's not responding to anybody. This is the end of her life. Like, I'm telling God what's going on down here. And he said, I want you to get her a Mother's Day card. And I want you to go visit her. And I have some things I want you to say to her. And again, I'm thinking, she's not communicating. And he said, you speak them to her spirit. Her spirit's alive. Don't pay attention to what she looks like. I said, okay. So I thought, now I got to go get a Mother's Day card. He said, go to your desk. So I go to my desk where all of my cards are. I still send cards. And there were 5 Mother's Day cards there. Like, and I remembered when my mother went to heaven, she's the one who taught me about cards. I took her card stash and shoved it in my desk. I never have Mother's Day cards. I get the ones I need. I mail them out. So I pick up the card and I start to write, blessings, Pastor Jean. And he said, I have some things to say to her. And so I wrote them down. Deborah, you're an amazing mother. You've been a wonderful mother to your children. You have loved me with your whole heart. I'm amazed at the way you've blessed people around you. I'm writing. I'm sobbing. I'm like, I want a card like this. So I'm writing away. And he said, I want you to have a beautiful Mother's Day. You are honored by your family. So I finish the card. I get up. I go to pick up my purse. He said, I want you to stop and bring her flowers from me. I went, all right, God. If I go to the florist, go to the grocery store. My grocery store flowers. Okay. I walk in. There's this gigantic display of tulips. Right when you walk in the door, tulips are my favorite color. There's an array of colors. I go, God, tulips. He said, get 4. I said, okay. So I pick out 4. He had already told me to get a vase. So I had a vase. What colors? Get red and white. Okay, got red and white. Get in the car. Put the flowers in the vase. Only 3 will fit. I'm like, why'd you have to get 4? He said, those are for you. I'm like, ooh. Put him down, go to the hospital, call my friend. She said, I just left, but my brother's there, so go on up. I'm like, how's your brother going to feel about me coming in to pray for her? He'll love it. So I go in there. He's standing there. He goes, do you want me to leave? I said, no, I don't want you to leave. I go over to this woman who in the natural is in that posture of head tilted, mouth open. But I looked at her, and I promise you, I saw the most beautiful woman. Beautiful. And I went over, and I said, Deborah, I'm Jean. I'm your daughter's friend. And I just had to come and meet you. And I had to tell you that you're about to go on the most beautiful part of your journey. You are about to step from this room into the next room. Don't go looking for a long tunnel and a bright light. It's not there. You walk from your living room into your kitchen to go into the presence of God. The word says so. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Don't believe all those TV movies of, I hope I find the right door. It's not like that. And I said, there's no reason to fear. So even though it's the unknown, I bind off fear. I cast it off of you. This is your most beautiful time. And I heard her son like sniffling. And then a nurse came in. And so I ended the prayer. And I looked at her son and I thought, this is the one that's taken care of her. This is the one that's kept her here for 3 years. When the rest of the family said it's time for mom to go, he said, no, I'm going to find everything I can to keep her alive and make her comfortable. Because he was the scientist. And so I went to him and I said, Michael, I've never met this man. I said, you have honored God and your mother by taking care of her. You have done amazing things for your mom, and God is so blessed. And he's just crying. I said, but your mom wants to go on to heaven, and it's time for her, but she won't go unless you release her. He said, okay. He said, I didn't know this is the way it was going to be when she went. I thought she, I didn't want her to be searching and not knowing and where do I go. He goes, but now I get it. So I said goodbye. I wasn't in that room 10 minutes. I had put her flowers down. I put her card there. I said, Deborah, God sent you flowers, and he sent you a card, and he wants you to know you're honored for Mother's Day by him because he knows you. And I walk out of the room, and I'm crying, going, that was as much for me as it was for her. He knows everything this woman did. He knows everything. So I go downstairs, get the elevator, out to the car, get in the car. I call Patty. She goes, what did you do? I said, what? She said, Michael just called me and said, I've told Mom it's okay to go. She goes, we've been trying to do this for 3 years. She has 4 siblings. She's like, I've already had phone calls from my siblings. I go, I haven't been gone but 2 minutes. She called me 3 hours later. Mom's in heaven. Mom crossed over. And we are so grateful and we are so happy about this. I thought about this woman's life. She came from Italy. She didn't know the language. She has stepped into some job at the school and she was a great seamstress and she sewed clothes. God wanted her honored, wanted her to have flowers. He wanted to honor her life of raising her children and being his daughter. She loved God her whole life. And I thought, God, why do we look for these big exploits? Oh, I went to Canada and I ministered for 2 weeks and it was wonderful. That's a blip on the radar of what you do for your family, for each other, for strangers, for every place you go in this community. You honor God with everything like that that you do. He wants you to know that he sees it. You're known by him. Maybe you've experienced loss. I thought about you all. You spend a lot of time without your spouses. You spend a lot of time with them while they're gone on the road for 2 weeks in their home. And I've heard that over and over since I've been here. You spend a lot of time, and this is what God said to me for you all. Don't isolate, communicate. Talk to God, talk to each other. Don't sit there going, well, I'm not doing much for God. I'm not doing whatever. I'm not changing lives. You are. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Don't take that. Don't listen to that. Now, you had this beautiful time here this morning. I can see you all love each other. But I want to make sure that you're real with each other, that you're calling, going, I can't believe I just had to say goodbye to him. I know I do this every 2 weeks and he's gone. But please spend some time with me. It's hitting me hard this week. I'm having a rough day today. So I need some reminders of who I am and how loved I am. Will you just love on me? Will you pray for me? Can we have coffee? Not great big giant exploits. Not, can we throw a big party at the church? And can I know I have to go do the tea party and I have to do the boxes. And then we have, not, it's the everyday life that God sees. And you know why I know it's important? We've talked about this so much, Margie and I. The steps are ordered. Your steps. You're going to build that house. God says in here, step one. And here's step two. And sometimes we want like those IKEA instructions all laid out before us that go on forever. And you go, forget it. I'll go paint that old dresser. I'm not building this. But God says your steps are ordered. So every little step you take must be important to him if he's ordering them. So it's good to have goals and visions. And you want that, but I I feel like you guys are so connected with the Grand Prairie people. Maybe it's just because so many of them told me, oh, where do you meet this one and this one? So it seems like you guys are connected, and I hear that you run down there to shop often. But there was, so what God had shown me for them that I'm going to ask you to do when we do our, whatever our break time is, because it was so powerful. Look around the room and find somebody, or look across the room today. Maybe you already know who it is. And go, boy, Val, I appreciate you. You open up your home. You cook meals. You do amazing things, but your strong faith is so evident in your life. I just appreciate that about you so much. Find somebody that you ask God to show you who it is. But you're there every week. I know if I ever have a need, you're there to pray for me. There was one day I didn't know what I was going to do, and you knocked at my door with dinner. I can't tell you what it meant to me. Or you called me, or you texted me. Or I haven't ever talked to you, but I've watched you. And I love your life. I love your faith. I love your joy. Whatever it is, ask God to show you something in each other that's real. We get sometimes to where we, when we're feeling isolated, that we think everybody else is having a party and I wasn't invited. We see a picture on Facebook, having the best time with coffee with Susie. And you're like, I would have been free for coffee. Why didn't you invite me to have coffee? And if we're not careful, it starts to go, well, forget it then. I was going to ask him to dinner. Now I'm not going to. And we isolate easily. And that's the enemy trying to do that. So I have 101 funny stories. Today, I could tell you things about myself that would have you rolling, but I know that God wants you to see each other the way He sees you. Not just you, but you see Val that way, right? He wants you to see how much He loves you. He's involved in your every single step, in your every single breath. He doesn't want you just running around doing great big things for God. He just wants time with you. And He wants to direct your day so that you're not running around like crazy all the time. You're not trying to do way too much so that you're just exhausted. And then if you dare to lay down and rest, you go, I hope nobody drives by and sees me resting. I hope they don't come and find out that I had a pajama day today. I didn't get out of my pajamas all day. That's my husband calling, telling me time's up. And I'll say to you what I say to him, I'm not finished yet. Just give me a minute. Our joke is my favorite line from Anne of Green Gables. When she says, if you only knew the things I wanted to say but didn't. Robert's like, you have unexpressed thoughts? You actually keep something to yourself? If I do, I write it down. If I feel like I can't say it, I at least write it down. I think that as women, we have an ability to handle so much that we forget how important rest is. And so I love the things that you're doing together, but I do want to encourage you to take that time to rest. Even if you call each other and go, hey, you want to come over and have a funny movie day? Let me shove the laundry off the couch and you can sit down here. Right? Instead of, okay, if I take tomorrow to clean my house and I can get to the grocery store and I can make that one dessert that they all love, even though it's a pain in the neck to make it, then I could have two of them. Oh, forget it. I'm not doing it. Just relax. Give each other permission to walk into a dirty house. Or say, why don't I help you clean your house for an hour and then we'll watch a movie. And then next time you can come help me clean my house. I know a church that did that. I thought, are all your old homes spotless? They said, oh, we just take turns going to each other's houses and we clean each other's houses and then have lunch and we have the best time. I'm like, that's a genius idea, right? So I want to tell you that last night I woke up at 3:30. I blame Jen. Because Jen said, well, the night before, she got up at 3:30 and she saw the northern lights. So I think that stuck in my head. And I went, I'm going to see the bright ones at 3:30. Even though the hotel's lit up like an operating room, I think somehow I'll still see it, even though everybody says you can't. So I was awake till 4:30. I fell back to sleep and I had a dream. And in that dream, I feel like this is for more than one here. But in my dream, I couldn't speak. Something had come and laid alongside me in the bed. It was just pushing me and pushing me. And when I went to call on the name of Jesus, I couldn't speak. I had no voice. And I thought, I had this dream a long time ago. That's not happening to me again. That's not coming on me. And that in my dream, I thought, this isn't for me. This is for somebody here. And then, so I know there's someone here that feels like they're not being heard. They've lost their voice. Like no one's really listening to them. And then God showed me there's somebody else that's having issues with intimacy, either breaking down and being real with people, or you're struggling in your relationship with God to see yourself as his daughter who's so loved and honored by him, but you have a hard time receiving that from him. So I want to pray for that today. And then I think I will pray for people that sometimes have a bad day. So you can come up for any one of those and nobody's going to go, she has trouble with intimacy. You know, we sometimes do that. And then we sit there and go, I am not answering this call because I didn't tell anybody and I don't want them to know. And we give each other permission to just be real and open and honest, right? And then we don't uncover that with others. We never go out, hey, how was your Women's Day? You wouldn't believe what Margie got healed of this weekend. Oh, my gosh. We don't do that. We don't uncover each other. You know what I mean by that? Yeah. When if you have a visitor minister in your home, you don't go then and go, man, can that man put away food? You should have seen what he ate. You just keep that to yourself, right? So that's not, we don't want to uncover each other ever. We don't want to, could I tell you how to pray for Margie? Let me just tell you what's going on. That way you really know how to pray. You have no business sharing that. You just say, pray in the Spirit. Let's lift up Pastor Margie today, right? So I know you all know that. I know that issue's not here. But it's a reminder because we can sometimes slip over into that. Am I the only one that's ever slipped over into, I think we need to pray for her. Let me just tell you what I saw. And I know I can trust you because we're such good friends. Can I vent about what this person did to me? No, you can go to the Father with it. And if it's a real issue, you go to the pastor with it. I don't want to know it. That you got to be bold and have those awkward conversations sometimes with people. So anyway, if you feel like your voice isn't being heard, if you feel like you've lost that special intimacy with the Lord or with being able to open up to people, or you feel like my husband's gone half the month and then he comes home and I'm like, who are you? You're ruining my routine here. When do you leave? I mean, I'll be on the road for 12 days. I'm like, I got to remember to wait for Robert and not just, okay, we're going here. I have to remember to communicate with him when I get home. I have to get back into that. Let me bring you coffee, honey. So I get that. I know that that's a real thing that you all have to deal with. So it's something you have to work on. Robert and I stay in the spirit. He blesses my travel. He travels about a fourth of the time with me because he just doesn't like travel. He used to do it a lot. But we stay in the spirit. He'll message me, hey, I got something for this meeting you're about to have. And so we've agreed to stay in the spirit. We talk every day, and every day he calls me and sings, Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone. I know. And they, can you sing something happier the last 3 days before I come home so I don't come home to some depressed man? Curtains drawn. So I do want, if you can remember those three things, I just, if you want prayer for anything, I want to pray for you, Margie, and I will pray. But those things in particular are what God showed me. And I'm going to ask Pastor Jen to come and pray with us because God gives me visions of things sometimes before a meeting. And last week when I was in Grand Prairie, he showed me this woman in like an apron smock. And I thought, that's interesting. It was floral print. And I thought, that's really interesting. And he said, she's there to help you. I went, okay. Wonder what woman's going to come to the meeting in a smock. Every time I go to her house, she's what? One cute apron smock after another on. And last night, I'm like, my lightning fast, a little bit tired mind, praying over today, went, yeah, that apron, oh, my word, it's Jen. I said, she's here to help me. God, she's been a tremendous blessing. I feel so welcome and warm and what? And he said, she's going to help pray. I want her to help pray. So she's going to come up with Margie and I, and we're just going to pray. If we can get any, where's my girl? If we can get any kind of music playing in the background, I loved that. Where'd she go? Was she downstairs in the cookies? She's getting all the good muffins, y'all. If anybody else knows how to run sound, or if you can hear me, can you come up and somebody sing? Maybe we'll do that. Or if somebody plays the piano, just play. I'll sing. Anyway, I just want you all to feel comfortable to come up. You don't know me. You know Margie very well. Of course, you all love her. So come to whoever you feel like God is saying, please come up and let them pray for you. So, Father, I thank you for this wonderful time that we've had already this morning and the sweet worship and the sweet fellowship. You can see and feel, it's like a palpable thing, the love for each other that's in this room. Thank you for that, God. And I just bless it to go to an even higher level of fellowship and intimacy with each other. And friendship with each other. Now, Father, for these things that you showed me in the Spirit, I thank you, God, that women will be set free today. They will lay down that concern about what will others think. We just lay it all down, Father. We're just here because you know us. You love us so deeply. And, Father, we just want to be totally clear in our relationship with you so that we can come to you with total, whole intimacy with you. And I thank you for that, God. Thank you, Father. Anything else? Healing? Grief. Thank you, Father. We want it all off of us. We want to walk in the fullness of who you made us for.